And welcome into the Johnny Jordan Show, HGTH Productions Radio, on Twitter at HGTHProductions.com. It is another Saints Talk edition of the Johnny Jordan Show. I am your host. Got Trish in the, where we are, the studio here tonight.
Hello.
And my dad on the line via Skype.
Yep.
It is the Thursday night football edition as well. I think we are all watching the Atlanta Falcons take on the Buccaneers. Not much of a game, though. Going into this game, we kind of needed the Bucs to win this one. They would go to 1-2. Atlanta would fall to 1-2. And if the Saints won over the weekend against the Vikings, the Saints would be 1-2, and there would be a big tie for second place in the division. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, though. As we are recording this during the Thursday night football game, and the Falcons are absolutely destroying the Buccaneers very early on into that game. But I tell you what, it's just going to be a monstrous deficit, and Tampa Bay doesn't look like they have anything at all in ways to come back. So,
nope, they can barely get a first down.
Welcome into our show now. Me and Trish went go browse around baby strollers earlier tonight before we got ready for Thursday night football and the podcast.
Yes, and we found one we liked.
We did. I think they were all very, very similar. They're all made the same way, apparently, but when you get them and you push them around and you fiddle with them, I find some just handled better than others.
Yeah, the one that we chose was definitely a lot sturdier than a couple of the other ones. And then there's like the bulky strollers too. You don't want to have to lug around a huge stroller and an infant. Like, that's just
too much. Yeah. So anyways, we're looking. Obviously we didn't buy anything yet, but Trish is pretty much done with her baby registry and all that, and just kind of getting all that stuff rolling. I know me and my dad went to Monday Night Raw, of course, this past Monday. That one was pretty fun. Dad, what you thought about that one? It was your first professional... Well, I mean, they have local professional wrestling events, but the first big company WWE event you went to in a long time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, probably 15 years. All I got to say is Cena sucks.
Did Chad say that all the way home?
All the way. He actually, we stopped at that convenience store by where you turn to go by your old house, Racetrack.
Yeah, probably. Racetrack, right.
Yeah, he wanted to get him something, and his little brother wanted a Coke. And when he got off the truck, he said, "Cena sucks." And this lady apparently was at the wrestling. She turned around and she said, "No, he don't."
Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah, we had fun. Tons of pyro, of course, and cool light shows. And it was a good WWE product. It was Monday Night Raw. I was disappointed, but I knew Daniel Bryan wasn't going to be there, obviously. He's kind of still on the shelf. But he's my favorite one that they really have right now on that roster. But nevertheless, it was a good, fun little show. One thing I took away from that show was, babe, get ready for this. A double 1275. If you want a double whiskey and Coke, $12.75.
That's actually not bad at all.
You don't think that's bad? That's awful. $12.75?
Go to the Superdome and get you a double. That's going to be like
$20. No, no, no.
Yes.
No, 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 no.
Yes.
No, the soup, that's more than the Superdome.
No.
Oh.
Not for a double.
Whatever. Regardless, those prices are ridiculous, man. You sell about three of those and you already paid for the bottle. Look at that. So that's what? Six shots out of the bottle and you've already got it paid for. Crazy. But anyways, yeah. Monday Night Raw was fun, but on to more important things. This is a Saints Talk version, so we got to talk New Orleans Saints football. And it is not been a great season thus far. The Saints are 0-2. They lost to the Cleveland Browns this past Sunday. Now, on the road, and they lost by 2 points. The final score was 26-24, but it was not a pretty game. I think the Saints are just struggling to close out the games, and their running game was doing really good, and I think Sean Payton's lack of wanting to run the football is really kind of what the way the Saints shot themselves in the foot, and they weren't able to close out that game. Dad, what's your overall impressions of the game against the Cleveland Browns?
Well, over the both games in the whole, I think we're very close to be a very good team, but we're just not there yet. On both sides of the ball that we need improvement. And on the offensive side, it's mostly, I would think, coaching. The coaches lost both games on the offensive side because when you're about to score and you have a minute and something left, first down on the 2 yard line, why are you going to call a darn timeout?
Yeah, yeah.
They call a timeout. Why? You know, I mean, and then one time when we were going to kick a field goal, we call a timeout. Take the 5 yards. We right there on the 5 yard line because we didn't make a touchdown, so we're going to kick a field goal. And then they call the timeout because they tried to draw them offside, and it didn't work, so we called the timeout.
Just very, very.
That take 5 more yards. If that kicker can't kick a 15-yard field goal, he don't need to be dressed up.
Yeah, just very irresponsible in the use of timeouts. You said that correctly. I mean, we burned the first two timeouts like almost back-to-back right away at the beginning of the game. Our third timeout was gone, I think, pretty early on in the second quarter.
Right. And then when you're running the ball and you're running successfully, then all of a sudden, okay, well, we'll get across midfield. Now we're going to start throwing. We're going to start chunking it. And
not only that, running the ball very successfully, like you said, but then we go into empty backfield formations. Nobody,
right.
You know, everybody split out wide, nobody in the backfield, so no threat of running the ball and no play action passing. I don't know if we ran any play action on Sunday.
I don't think we did. Even when we had a running back, he lined up on the side of the quarterback. He didn't even attempt to, like, get the ball. All he was there for was to block.
Right.
When we did have a running back or a fullback back there, that's all he was there for. And it was obvious that he wasn't going to run the ball. And, it's just trying to get the big play. Once you're ahead, you got to kill the clock.
Yeah.
Especially when you know this other team. Okay, they hadn't stopped us all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? We hadn't stopped them.
Yep.
So the thing is you're going to give them the ball with almost 2 minutes left. How do you figure you're going to stop them when all they need is a field goal?
That's right. You know? That's right. And we'll get more into that specific play. Where to me it was the play that lost the game, and we'll get more into that. But that's the other thing is if your defense hasn't been stopping them, then why in the world would you do stuff to not take away all the time on the clock and take away their timeouts? Like, why are you playing into their hand? You haven't shown that you can stop them. All the more reason to run the damn ball. And they just haven't run the, they didn't run the ball. Trish, what are your overall impressions of that game?
Well, I think that both games, it came down to the last freaking less than two minutes of the game, both games. And like y'all were saying, it's poor time management. Like, if you cannot, like, I mean, it's not just the defense. Everyone wants to blame the defense. I mean, the defense didn't, you know, they didn't
stop anybody. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they didn't stop
anybody. They played terrible, but the offense played so well that they still could have won the game.
But the offense could not tick down the clock to make it to where they had no time. And that's what I think the biggest problem was. Because it's not, I mean, you know your defense is playing like crap. So you might as well, you know, end the game on your hands.
And that's why it falls on the coaches. And that's why it falls on the coaching staff. Both of those games.
It was just a disappointment because you see them, like, the offense struggled in the beginning. And then it was like, oh, Lord, here we go. And then they started picking up and things were, you know, going okay. And then you have the last few minutes of the game and you're thinking they can, you know, just, you know, run out the clock. It's, they were almost, what were, they were in field goal range, right?
Yes, they were at the 30-yard line.
They could have just, I don't know.
Very easily. And we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that specific drive and one play, well, two of those plays really that completely lost the game for us. Let's take a look at the stats for the game just right offhand. When I talk about how great we were running the ball, I need to be able to back that up. Overall, total yards, 397 for us, Cleveland 324. The Saints had 233 passing yards to Cleveland's 202. We had 174 rushing yards to Cleveland's 122. We had 26 first downs. The Browns had 23. The Saints did turn the ball over twice. And I'll get to our turnover ratio so far in these first two games. Not very good. And that is also a reason why we have been losing ball games. But we'll get to that later. Mark Ingram, okay? 11 carries, 83 yards, 7.5 yards a carry. Brandon Cooks, 2 carries, 31 yards, 15.5 yards a carry. Robinson had 8 carries, 31 yards. That's 3.9 average. Pierre Thomas, 3 carries, 16 yards, 5.3 average. Johnson had 2 carries for 10 yards. And Breeze took one himself for 3 yards. That's how we managed to get 174 yards rushing. And we're criticizing Sean Payton because he cannot stand to run the damn ball. And I just, they asked him this in the press conference, and he completely just, he was being kind of cocky and arrogant and basically talking to the media like they didn't know anything. They asked him a question. Well, you always go with the hot hand. You say you like to go with the hot hand. The running game was really working. Mark Ingram was running for, you know, 6-7 yards a carry, and Sean Payton immediately interrupts him and goes, yeah, I thought we ran really well. Yeah, I thought we ran really, really well. And the guy that was asking the question said, well, why didn't you continue? And then Sean Payton was like, okay, next question. That's all he wants to say. Yeah, I thought we ran really well. Okay, but why didn't you continue? Oh, next question. We don't want to discuss that. And let's get into that play that I think really lost the game. We finally got into field goal range right at the Cleveland 30-yard line. We ran on first down. That was fine. We only got 2 or 3 yards. But, hey, that's good. That's all you need to do. In fact, I say you can run 3 damn times in a row. Cleveland has a few timeouts. Make them burn their timeouts, or as many as you can make them burn. And if you don't pick up the first down, you kick a field goal, you're already up by 1 point, so you go up by 4. Which means they have to score a touchdown to win. Now you made them burn out. They might only have 1 timeout left. And who knows how much time left on the clock. Probably under 2 minutes. Now you have to go the full length of the field and get a touchdown. with only, you know, one timeout. This is all hypothetical, and less than 2 minutes to play. Instead, on second down, we throw the ball, okay? But now, it did go for a couple yards, and it was complete, so the clock kept rolling. I understand that, but here's the deal. We used our passing play on second down and did not pick up the first down. So whatever exploitation we were trying to utilize on that play, it's already been used. So we're not going to be able to do the same thing for third down. We're not going to be able to pick. We're going to have to do something different. So we line up in another passing situation. So now we're passing twice in a row because we cannot pick up the first down with the run because we botched it on the in the second one. So now you risk stopping the clock with an incompletion on third down, and you risk all kinds of other stuff, which we'll get to that because it actually happened. So you don't want to pass twice in a row when you're trying to run out the clock and go up by 4 points. You know, why in the world would you pass twice in a row? But we do it because we want to mix it up, Sean Payton says. Well, mixing it up mixed it up for us, too, and it screwed it up for us. But what ends up happening is we line up to pass, and Cleveland stacks the line to the right side of the offense. They're bringing the blitz, and they're bringing it heavy all on one side of our offense, on our right side. So Drew Brees, our Hall of Fame-to-be quarterback, calls a audible, and the audible is a pitch to Kyrie Robinson on the left side of the offense to counteract that blitz, okay? And a pitch, obviously, he pitches the ball to the running back, and the running back takes it around the end. It's a sweep, and it would have gone for the first down. In fact, how do I know it would have gone for the first down? Well, because they actually ran the damn play. They got about halfway through the play before everybody stopped. Everything was blocked. We would have picked up the first down. First and 10, you know, from like the 25-yard line, and Saints chew up more clock. You know, we could have won the damn game. Instead, because Sean Payton sees Drew Brees audible to that sweep, Sean Payton doesn't want it. He doesn't want the run play. He doesn't want the sweep. So he called a freaking timeout, and that's why the play got blown dead. So we call a timeout, and what do? We line up to pass. On third down, he's gung-ho on fucking passing the ball. So we line up to pass. Cleveland brings the blitz. We get sacked, and we're out of field goal range, and now we have to punt, and we're only up by one. There's still over 2 minutes left to go, and guess what? We didn't make Cleveland burn any of their timeouts. So they have a full, they have their full three timeouts to go. That's how you lose the game. Those two plays in particular is where it got screwed up. And to me, that falls completely on the shoulders of Sean Payton.
I agree with you. Like I said, it had everything to do in the last 2 minutes. Those calls, it just... If the next game of the Vikings game comes down to the last 2 minutes again, I think I might scream.
It's gonna be too much. We gotta be able to win those damn games. At home, on the road, whatever, it doesn't matter. We gotta win close games. We are not finishing. When we won the Super Bowl, the Saints subscribed to the finish strong theory. You remember that? Finish strong? Mm-hmm. We haven't been finishing strong at all. We've been shooting our feet off. We shouldn't have any feet left. And, again, that all falls on the coaching staff. I mean, just really bad decisions. You've seen Sean Payton yell at Rob Ryan. And, yeah, there's problems with the defense. But that is definitely a big reason why we lost the game, because we can't stop anybody from scoring. But we still could have won if we would have just ran the damn ball. Here's the other thing, Dad. When you are on the road, okay, you're shitting your pants, because the defense has all the momentum on their side. You're backed up into your own end zone. You've already had a turnover. The crowd's getting loud. You can barely hear each other. You're having a false start. You're breaking the huddle with 10 seconds to go on the play clock. How do you settle your offense down? What kind of plays do you call to settle your offense down and to minimize the damage of you being really, really nervous, what's the best place to call in that situation?
Get the running back in I formation and run it down the middle.
The simplest play in the world with the least amount of risk is a damn run up the middle in the I formation. Why were we not doing that?
You get your lineman in the hole, you tell him you got to beat your man and you got to get him off the ball because we come right down the middle.
That's it. And simple as that, if it fails, it fails, but you can settle them down. I mean, and you don't turn the ball over. And you don't lose field position. You don't get sacked it's outrageous.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the defensive team, they got all this adrenaline flowing, okay? They're ready. They're biting their lips. They're ready to get after you.
Right.
And when you just run the ball down the middle, it's like, oh, man, I couldn't use none of this energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
One or two plays like that, they get tired. You know, they're like, oh, man, I'm all pumped up and they're not letting me do anything. And so they tend to relax.
Exactly. And they can't dictate to you. I mean, yeah, they can run blitz, but really, they'll shove stuff you up the middle. You lose a yard on the play. You know, what's really going to happen there? You can still dictate, no matter how bad you're doing, if you're running the football, you can dictate to the defense what you want to do. Even if the play is not successful, they're not dictating to you to where you got to look at the defense and say, oh, we got to make all these audibles and you don't have time to do it and you got to adjust these routes. And you know, just run the ball up the middle. Just run the damn ball up the middle and then settle down. And then once you get into the game and the defense loses a little bit of energy, because basically you lull them to sleep. You bore them to death because you just run up the middle.
Yep.
And then they lose a little bit of momentum. They're not as hyped up. And then you can open up your offense. But when you start off the game like that, you have got to run the goddamn ball. And I don't understand what is wrong. A Super Bowl winning coach cannot understand that simple. He just don't want. He just don't want. I don't get it.
Well, then, I mean, like the play you were talking about a while ago. Okay, we were in field goal range. Okay, a little over what? It was a little over 2 minutes. Well, it was a 2 minute warning. We were in field goal range, first and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Run the ball three times consecutive down the middle.
Right.
If we don't pick up another yard, it doesn't matter.
Fuck it.
We in field goal range.
And you're up by four.
They used their timeouts.
They used their timeouts.
They didn't use their timeouts. The clock ran.
Right. And you go up by 4 points.
You don't
get
sacked. Right. And then, you know, I mean, and then there's no time left to come home. Oh, I mean, Mac, because you ate up all the clock. Then, if you gain a few yards, and if they don't have no timeouts, you can take a delay of gain, back up 5 more yards, and you can still kick it. If you kick it, you know, if you're not too far.
His explanation was, oh, we ran for 170 yards. Obviously, we ran the ball. You say run the ball. We ran for 170 yards. So, yeah, we ran the ball. You didn't run it when you were supposed to fucking run it, moron. That's the problem. Run it to finish the fucking game. Like, just because you ran it and you got a lot of yards, okay, but you're supposed to win. You play to win. You play to win the game, like Herm Edwards says.
Yep.
I guess he outthinks himself sometimes. I think these coaches are so involved with the intricacies and the X's and O's of the game that they lose perspective on what's going on for the full game.
Sean Payton is an offensive coach. He was an offensive coordinator before, and he's all about a high-powered offense. And there's no high-powered offense with running plays. I mean, there's not. It's score fast and score hard. And, yeah, every now and then you might have a play like that. But why do you have a running back? I mean, if you don't want to run the ball, just put 5 receivers on there and let them go.
Well,
you ain't going to win many games.
And now we don't. And we'll get into that as we set up the Vikings game, but Mark Ingram, he's going to be out for a while. No specific date set yet. No specific report on the injury either. They just said he injured his hand, and he's going to be out for a little while.
He had surgery today.
Oh, he did?
Or yesterday, yeah. It's his thumb.
That's not good.
You heard,
surgery.
But it's his thumb. And he had surgery. He didn't report to practice today. And he should be out a month.
Well, and then...
So I'm looking,
you know,
after the break. He'll be back after the break.
He runs well. He doesn't fumble a lot. You just got to hope that that thumb doesn't cause him to start fumbling the ball now. Because he's been running so well. I mean, he averaged over 7 yards a carry last game. He's really been hot for us. And now... With him out, that's an excuse for Sean Payton to run even less. But we got
now you're going to have one of the top receivers in the league and didn't throw him the ball one time. And you want to pass the ball, but you didn't throw him the ball one time.
Yep. No looks for Colston.
No.
Outrageous. But here's the other telling stat, and if I would have told you this, you would have said, yep, there's a very good chance we're 0-2. In the first two games, the Saints are -3 in the turnover category. We've given up 4 and only got 1 back in return. So you can't win ball games when you do that.
Nope.
Now, the bright side of it is the 2 losses, just a 5-point differential. So that's not bad either. Obviously, we know we could have easily won those 2 games. We didn't get our ass kicked in those 2 games. It's not like we're bad. We just weren't able to finish. We could have won the games. So that's, I guess, a little silver lining. But we head to this weekend to take on the Minnesota Vikings. Actually, our first home game back in the Dome. And Trisha's going to be ready. This is one of the few games she's going to be able to attend this year. So she needs to get them in under her belt while she still can.
Also, you're going to be sitting in the front, Papa Bear.
Because
I'm going to be taking some naps in the back seat.
Oh, okay. You're going to take my place.
I'm taking your place.
Okay.
She said she's going to bring her body pillow and just relax in the back.
Yeah. I'm,
oh, okay. I don't blame you because I like that back.
I'm looking forward to it. I just know it's going to be really exhausting for me. Especially if we do a lot of walking. So.
Well, we'll try to keep the walking at a minimum. We'll set up. Oh, that play is dead. His helmet came off. He can't pick up the first down. He doesn't get the first down on that play because his helmet came off. Again, obviously, we're still watching the Falcons and the Bucks. We're not going to do that much walking. We'll tailgate right where the car is and enjoy the festivities going on as we're not too far away from the music. So the Vikings coming to town. The Vikings are 1-1, and no Adrian Peterson. With all the domestic violence stuff going on, at first he had the one thing with his son where apparently he whipped him. May have gone over the line there, and the Vikings said, "You know what? We are going to reinstate him. We'll let him play on Sunday, and we're going to let the law figure it out. We're not going to make any judgments, and depending on what happens with the law, then we'll make our decision. But we're still going to allow him to play." And then the NFL said, no, you're not. And then more allegations came out about another son, apparently. Babes, you know more?
I have no idea. I just remember, was it last year that one of his sons passed away from child neglect and he drowned or something? Wasn't that?
Yeah, but that wasn't on Adrian Peterson, I don't think.
No, but I just that's the only thing I knew about him, one of his other sons.
Yeah, there was another one, but that was an old injury that the wife, ex-wife had took some pictures of, I guess, a beating that the baby had took before, or the kid, I should say, had took. It was a different child, but it was some old pictures she had, and she brought those again.
Just saying that, okay, there's a history of it. Just saying that there's a history of it. He's shown a history of it. Okay.
Right, and that's what she did, and so they put a second charge on him. So.
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, so he's not going to play, so we're without Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram, very integral part of our team, but not as much as Adrian Peterson is to the Vikings. So you'd like to think the odds are in our favor. Now, by the way, another player in a domestic violence situation, he plays for the Cardinals. What was his name? Dwyer, I think? Something like that. He's going to be out. Man, what are these people thinking?
Wait, yeah, there's the dude from San Francisco, but he's not out yet.
And the guy from the Panthers, but...
One for the Panthers, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that this probably still went around in the old days of the NFL when the media wasn't around to publicize it. But, and then now, I'm going to tell you something somebody said to me today, and a light went off in my head. The NFL brought this on themselves, okay? And here's why, especially Roger Goodell. He brought this on the NFL himself. Because when they had those concussion lawsuits coming up, he said, how am I going to combat this to show that we're doing something about it? Oh, I know, we're going to start Bounty Gate and we're going to pick on the Saints. And we got to get the media on our side, right? So he starts bringing reporters in and leaking, I'm using air quotes, information to those reporters, which we know they weren't leaked. The Saints fans knew. Other fans didn't know. Or the ones that knew just pretended like they didn't because they didn't like the Saints. But it was just you know what I'm saying? It wasn't really leaked information. They weren't doing any investigative journalism. The NFL was just handing them their side of the story. But they wanted it in the media. The NFL wanted this publicized everywhere because they wanted to campaign, essentially. They wanted to campaign their position against head injuries, and they wanted to crucify somebody and make an example of a team about it to pretend that they were doing something about it. Well, guess what? They've done it. But now you open up the floodgates because now there will be some media. There will be investigative journalism. The NFL sells. It sells magazines. It sells newspapers. It sells. So you're going to have people. When the NFL's not handing out stuff to their journalists to go and publish, well, guess what? The other journalists are going to be doing some digging. And you got all this domestic violence stuff ramped up. It sells, and they're jumping all over it. Roger Goodell and the NFL brought that on themselves.
Well, and you see, a lot of the advertisers have been jumping on, have been pulling ads or doing certain things.
And that's like the only way Radisson. To hurt them.
Right. Radisson mm-hmm. pulled, they used to do the background for the Vikings. When they were having their speeches, they had a banner down there, and it had Radisson, and it had the Vikings symbol. Well, Radisson pulled their support off of there. And then Budweiser called the NFL and said, certain things. And there was a bunch of people. And so that's what
Pepsi Company,
all these major supporters. But let me mention something that might happen pretty soon that I'm afraid of. And then I have a solution to all of this. Okay. Number one is I'm thinking somewhere one of these NFL players are going to get accused of something. They're going to get suspended because this person or people are going to press charges on them that they did something. Okay. Well, when it's going to go to court or whatever, it's going to be unfounded. But yet this player has going to have been suspended. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So my solution to this, and then if you were suspended without pay and all this, does the NFL have to say, okay, well, we suspended you too early, we should, you know. So my solution to this is, if they would whenever a player is in trouble, drunk driving, domestic abuse, beating your kid or whatever, whenever you're accused of whatever you're accused of, they need to meet with whoever, the NFL, and say, did you do it? Up front, tell me, did you do it? If you did, if you tell me, yes, you did it, you will get penalized right now. If you tell me you didn't do it, and then you go, you're going to owe us money whenever, you know, if you end up,
if it,
it proves that you
right.
didn't do it, you're going to owe us money, all that money back, plus a penalty.
Right.
Plus a suspension. So, you just can take your medicine now if you did it. You know what I'm saying? And that way, because you can't just suspend somebody. I mean, the old saying is you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
Now, say with Adrian Peterson, okay, I'm not saying he didn't do this, but what if the wife had a boyfriend, or what if the wife whipped him and made those remarks? You know what I'm saying?
Well, what if I see Roddy White at a bar, and because I hate the Falcons, I claim he beat me up, and I pull a Jim Carrey and liar, liar, and like beat myself with a toilet seat in the bathroom, but claim
right.
Roddy White did it, and then I press, so now Roddy White gets suspended the week he's playing the Saints because I beat myself up, and I claimed, obviously I would lose in court because I wouldn't be able to prove it, but
right.
He would get suspended, and he would be out for a week. So it is kind of
right.
tough on the NFL to decide whether or not they should suspend somebody and for how long.
Right. So I think they should give the player, say, look, this is it. You're innocent until proven guilty, but we're asking you. If you did it, let us know now.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we can settle it from right now. Because if you lie, you know, you're not going to come back to the NFL till all this money is paid back and your time served.
Yep. And in most cases, if they do have to serve time, there's no way you can get back into the league after
no.
you serve a few years. So you're pretty much done anyways.
Right. So, I mean...
But you can still find them.
But the thing is if one's accused, okay, like you accused Roddy White, okay, and... they don't go to court till after this year, so he's out every game. Okay, and then, okay, he wins in court, you lose. So you turn around and say, ha, 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 I lost. Okay, no problem. But then Roddy White lost all this money. Can
yep.
he come back on the NFL for suspending me? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For all this, you need to pay me. Because, and a lot of the contract is performance. Well, you know he didn't perform. Because he wasn't on the field. So how do you figure all this? And what I'm saying, in the long run, it could cost the NFL even more money by doing it like that.
It's a complete and total can of worms.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. I mean, I don't even know where to start and really know how to structure. I mean, there is the way of thinking, and I kind of subscribe to this too a little bit, that it's none of the NFL's business of what these players are doing when they're not playing football. But at the same time, the NFL doesn't operate like that. They think it is their business, and they want to protect the shield, and they want to protect the image. And then here's the other thing is they sign contracts, and in the contract it is said, you know, you can't do this or that. So
right.
they're signing the contract to play in the NFL. They're signing the contract that says, oh, they can't break the law, no domestic violence and stuff like that. And if they do, they're subject to whatever. And I guess you got to put that in the contract itself, that if you're going to play, make sure nobody create, even though they're false threats, make sure or false claims that you did something, you better be on your P's and Q's and make sure nobody even files the false claims. Because
right.
you're gonna be suspended for it,
and you see, it's just like you in a more or less the same type of business in the media. If you would
right.
report something that ain't true, and then the radio station comes up on you and say, "Hey, we're gonna have to suspend you because you know you're saying this and it's not true," and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's certain things that you can't say, you can't do. I mean, it's just like if you go get busted for drugs, don't think that's not going to, you know, and it's all over the news plastered. Don't think that the radio station's going to take it lightly, even though it's off you off duty. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, exactly. I mean, it affects the image, so they have to clean that up.
Because they have all these advertisements. How does radio make money? From the advertising.
Exactly. So it's a big can of worms, and obviously this is what happens when you have the internet where it's at now. You have social media taking over. The media is all over the place. And again, it was going to get to this at some point, but I think the whole Bountygate scandal kind of kicked it off. I think they've done this to themselves where they really allow a media circus. You know, they allow the media frenzy. They allow the muckrakers, if you will, to come in and dig for dirt. So,
yep.
That's kind of just what's going on. There's only so much you can sweep under the rug as well. But back on the Vikings, I don't know too much about them, and I think that's pretty telling. Aside from Adrian Peterson, I don't know. Let's look and see who they beat, because the Vikings are 1-1. And go back and look at their schedule. They beat the Rams the first week of the season, 34-6, which is pretty convincing, but the Rams themselves, not too great of a team. So it's hard to be impressed by that win. And then they went ahead and they lost to the New England Patriots 30-7 last week, and I think that might be more of a showing of what the Vikings are as a football team.
Right.
Trish, you have anything to add?
I hate the part where we're going to ask us if they're going to win or not on Sunday.
Well, that's where I'm getting to, because we're getting towards the end of the program. The Saints are favored by 10 to win this game. The over and under is at 49. I'm gonna go ahead and say we win. I mean, I feel confident. I think we still have a chance to make the playoffs. Now, I think it's only 15% of teams in the NFL since like 1990 make the playoffs after starting out 0-2. But if there is a team that's gonna do it, I think the Saints would be one of those teams. Again, we didn't really get blown away. We didn't really get handedly defeated in any of the first two losses. They both came down into the last few minutes. The Saints only lost by 5 point total for these two games combined. So I think it's very possible. You have 8 home games coming up. It's very likely that we win all 8 of them, and it's not hard to make the playoffs if you get spotted 8 wins. You only have to win a couple road games, so I think it's possible. We might not win all the home games, but I think I still have us in the playoffs, believe it or not. I'm going to keep the faith, and I think we beat the Vikings this weekend. Dad?
I think we beat the Vikings, and we put a 40 burger on them.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
They may put a 30Z on us, but we'll put a 40 on them.
Well, hopefully Rob Ryan gets that defense playing better. We need more of a pass rush, and I think when we get back to the dome, we'll have one. The defense always plays better in the dome for some reason, so I expect that. Trish, what you think?
I would rather us get blown out than keep these close games and keep losing.
You would rather get blown out than lose a close game.
Because otherwise you can just, you know, go into it each week. And if you know your team is just not, it's just not happening this season, you can just go each Sunday. And, you know, in y'all's cases, y'all can get drunk and hot of y'all. Or, you know, you can just, you know, not be tense the whole game. But
that's definitely a fan's perspective. I think the player's perspective is you always want a chance to win. You always want to be in a game as a player.
Yeah, I understand that, and you know, it is good that we're, you know, hanging in there. But like I said, for our known stress level, it's better if they get, you know, blown out each game than be close. That being said, I do think we're going to win. But I don't know. No comment.
I think so. I think the Vikings might be the cure we need to get back on the right track here. So that's going to kind of wrap it up here for Saints Talk edition of the Johnny Jordan Show, week 3 of the NFL. I'll go around the table one more time to see if anybody has anything extra to say. It is a much shorter show this time around. Not a whole heck of a lot to talk about, and obviously we're not going crazy over the Saints. Actually, a little bit frustrated with the losses, but Trish, anything you'd like to add about the NFL or anything this weekend, even the baby stuff, whatever.
This week is the rematch of the Super Bowl. It's Denver versus Seahawks. So I'm anxious to see how this one goes since the Seahawks lost last week to San Diego. I just want to see how that goes. See if, you know, if there's a change in dynamics or if they continue to be.
Talk about a tough schedule. The Seahawks, really, I mean, Green Bay, then they lose this one to the Chargers in week 2, and now Denver in week 3. That's a tough schedule.
Yeah, which, I mean, I guess they got to prove that they are the Super Bowl champions.
And it's always hard to even get back into the playoffs after you win the Super Bowl, so we'll see with the Seahawks. I think they really are a tough, tough team. I was kind of shocked that San Diego pulled that one out. Good job by the Superchargers, but I don't
know. Last season, I think San Diego played Seattle really tough as well. I think just San Diego has something they just know about the Seahawks that they can work with. Because I remember, I think last season, they might have served the Seahawks a loss. I'm not positive on it, but I remember them playing them really tight.
You know, some teams just match up better. Some teams are just made for others. So, yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. I had the Seahawks going 15-1, believe it or not. And that wasn't the one game that I had them losing. I think they would lose to a division rival with a strong defense like the Cardinals. But there you go. Seahawks already dropped one this year. They're just 1-1. Dad, anything you'd like to add before we wrap this one up?
Well, I kind of almost agree with Trish. I'd rather my team be not worth a shit and lose the game by big, you know, and then knowing that they're a lot better than they are and they're not playing to their potential and barely losing games, giving them away, because those two teams we played, we could, any other day we would beat them. I mean,
well, yeah.
You know, with our on paper, they couldn't hang with us. It's just our players are just.
Well, that falls on the coaching staff. Our players are much better than that. And I think that falls on the coaching staff. And after the game, I went on Twitter. I went on Facebook and everything I could that the Saints would post. And I went on and I ragged Sean Payton. I got all over Sean Payton. And I don't think he's seen any of it. I mean, I really doubt he does. And I don't think he pays attention to any of that. But
I think he might have seen your Twitter, because I follow him on Twitter, and he doesn't have, I mean, he's, I don't think he has way too many Twitter followers, and none that really tweet him a lot, so.
He needs, well, I hope he's seen it. I gotta remember, I don't even remember what I tweeted, but it was something like, that's on you, coach. I mean, we've got to run the damn ball. That's, last game against the Browns, that was totally on him, and I tell you what might agree with you guys about the close games, not wanting to lose a close game, is my liver. I don't know if my liver can take it. All these close games that we've been getting into. I started out, I knew, you know, I drank a lot of whiskey in week 1. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to have beer here so I don't get nearly as drunk and stuff. I started out with 2 beers, and then I had to finish with the whiskey at halftime. It wasn't enough, because that game was rough.
Man, not to, off subject, but Tampa Bay is just garbage. Like, the running back just now, he was running. Nobody really touched him, and he just dropped the ball, like, while he was running, and then fumbled the ball. And I think this might be the third fumble for Tampa Bay.
We're going to have to eat our crow on Tampa Bay. I think we all picked Tampa to be tough this year.
I didn't.
It's not looking like it yet.
I picked them to be, I think, the last seed in the...
Well, I did.
I picked them to be tough because of their coach. I mean, yeah. Lovie is a...
They just put in another quarterback, just like the second half. They have, what's his face, Glennon back in.
Well, I think they do have potential. They're going to have to gel and get something. I don't know. They're just going to have to put it together. They just don't have it together right now.
It's those jerseys. They need to burn them jerseys. Ugly.
You don't like them, huh?
They're cheap looking. They're very cheap. Like, the helmet looks nice now, but their jerseys look cheap.
Yeah, that font is, it's an acquired taste.
You know, their quarterback and our backup quarterback are brothers.
Well, their quarterback's not even in right now. They
not now. Yeah, they took him out.
Right, they've got the younger version of the McCowns.
Yeah.
I guess quarterbacks running, not good quarterbacks running their family.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the Johnny Jordan Show, the Saints Talk NFL Week 3 edition of the Johnny Jordan Show, right here on HGTH Productions Radio. Saints and Vikings, a home opener in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome at noon. I think the Saints are going to get on the right track here. We'll get one in the win column, go to 1-2, and that's when we'll start our comeback, and I still think we're going to make the playoffs. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But that's going to wrap it up. Certainly like to thank my dad on the line via Skype.
Who that?
And Trish in the studios.
Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Whenever you may be listening, yes. Of course, this is a podcast show, so listen at your own convenience. Get us at Twitter, HGTH Productions. And, hey, who dat on three? 1, 2, 3.
Who dat?
Who dat?